All right, I believe young people can stay in. They're going to stay here?
Yes.
Okay, all right, young people will stay in, so stay put where you are. And we're going to be in the Old Testament. And how strange, because we're doing a sermon on going to church. But let me just tell you, there's some psalms, a whole collection of them, as you can see from your notes, that I want to run through. Now, this is kind of an unorthodox direction, a way to preach anyway, because mainly just going to make the comments, read the scripture, a couple more comments and move on, because there are 15 psalms I want you to look at, and you're all thinking, oh no. Let me tell you, most of these psalms are only 3 verses, maybe 5 verses long. There's a couple of them a little longer than that, but they're very brief. But I think it's worth going through because these are psalms that are called the Psalms of Ascent. If you look in your Bible, most likely underneath the particular psalm, the first one being 120, is it says a song of ascents. Well, what's ascents all about? What does that mean, anybody? Yes, it means to go up. And so here you have the people that were traveling to Jerusalem, which was on a mountainside, on a hill. And so people talked, even in their day, in that time, the Jewish time, of going up to Jerusalem, because it was literally up. And so the Psalms of Ascent have to do with people who came up to Jerusalem for certain festivals, for certain times that God had organized for them to go. The three main ones being the Passover and Pentecost and the Day of Atonement. That doesn't matter a whole lot to us, but let me just tell you, these 15 Psalms are intentionally put together because they tell a story as they go through of the people as they went toward Jerusalem, and then once they got there and how they felt and how they responded to things and what they said while they were there. And so that's what we're going to look at. But let me go to a second thought, and that is that God intends for these psalms to be applied to the church. And so the Psalms of Ascent, in a spiritual way, are talking to us about going to church. How many of you have said, I'm going to church today, or have asked anybody, are you going to church? Well, that's what we mean here, coming to worship. Now, of course, we are the church, and if we just get together, two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said that I'm there in your midst. And so, in a sense, the church is really, well, in a real way, the church is really us, and it's not so much what we're doing. But we sometimes talk about going to church, and we mean coming together where the church is. Sometimes we refer to the church building. How many of you ever talked about, are you at the church today? What do we mean by that? Are you at the building? And, you know, we can correct them and say, well, you know, the church building is really not the church. But I forget all about that. That's no big deal. The church is us, and the worship service is part of what the church does. We meet on the Lord's Day, and we worship. And so here we have the people in the Old Testament that were on their way to do that. And so let's start out and do it quickly because it's 10 minutes after. Keep track of it for me, if you will. And I'll move as quick as I can. Starting at Psalm 120 is the Psalm of Ascent that actually says to us that when we go to church, we are coming into a fair haven. We're coming into a safe place. And that's what, as they left, as they packed their bags, got their carts ready, got their mules ready or their donkeys or whatever, to go to Jerusalem from somewhere else, as they traveled, this was their beginning psalm. I call on the Lord in my distress, and He answers me. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will He do to you, and what more besides you, you deceitful tongue? He will punish you with the warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom brush, a bush. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, and that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Now, there's too much in here to try to unpack. I mean, we're just going to stay with just one little thought, and that is, as they began to leave wherever they were, they make the note that I'm living in a place that's very distressful for me. And when I come and when I head toward, I can't wait to get to Jerusalem, because that's where I got some relief. And so that's what they're feeling. I've longed for this, and woe to me as I live in Meshach and Kedar. We're all living in Meshach and Kedar. That was basically where non-Jewish people lived, and we may be living in a time in our own culture where we feel like a lot of distress out in the community. And so it's a good thing you come on the Lord's Day to worship service, because it's kind of a breath of fresh air, a sigh of relief, because you come in and hopefully not to be mistreated or goaded in any way. Psalm 121 is the next one. Seeing beyond the material world. As they're traveling, you've got to imagine they went through various kinds of terrain. They experienced lots of different things, because it may have taken them a week or two, or maybe just a few days, depending how close or how far away they were. And so listen to what the psalmist here now says. Imagine them traveling. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Where does my help come from? In verse 2, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip, he who watches over you. You will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, and the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. This is the idea of going through and traveling, living in the material world. And we're reminded that God is actually the maker of the material world. My help comes not from the material world that I live in. And some people make that mistake, even we as Christians, that really where we get our help is from all the philosophers and all the ideas that come out from the world. But that's not where they come from. That's not the right ones. The right ones come from God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, and he makes the material world. And so instead of looking to the material world, we should look to the maker of the material world. And that would be a message that because he protects us. Psalm 122 is actually when they arrive in Jerusalem. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There stands the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and my friends, I will say peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. Lots of things in there. Again, we won't touch on, but put, if you will, you like to fill in the blank, coming together in praise and prayer. Both mentioned there. Verse 4, I come where all the tribes come up. They all go up to praise the name of the Lord. Why do you come to church? To praise the name of the Lord. Surely you do that every day, but in a collective way. Notice the tribes all come together. And that's us, the different Christians, the believers. They all come together. And it's that day when we come together as a congregation. Again, the idea of all being together. And we praise the Lord and we pray. And so, of course, he asked us here to pray for the prosperity of the house of the Lord, to pray for the church and the good that it does for all of us as we come together. Now, Psalm 23, as we turn to it, is a great little psalm. And it's if you want to fill in, looking to God for mercy. I lift up my eyes to you, who sit enthroned in heaven. Remember now, he's in Jerusalem. He's made it to the temple. And he's seen everything. He's awed at all the tribes coming together and how wonderful it is. And now he says, I lift up my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven, as the eyes of the slave of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us. For we have endured no end of contempt. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, of contempt from the proud. And so the psalmist here says the one thing that when I get before God is I realize the one thing that I want more than anything else is God's mercy. Would you rather have justice or mercy?
Mercy.
Jesus had just, God had justice through Jesus. He was sacrificed for our sins. And so that's justice. And so God can be just and the justifier of us by through Jesus giving us mercy. And so as a church, we come together looking to God for mercy. It's good to hear preachers preach and teachers teach on the idea of the mercy of God. Some churches are a little bit too critical of everything, and they're more onto, you better watch out, you know, like not Santa Claus is coming, but you better watch out in your life and get yourself right. Now, that's a true story, a true message. But remember, you're going to fail and you're going to fall down at times. And so trust in the mercy of God. As God's people, we come together and we're reminded of God's mercy. Psalm 124, if the Lord had not been on our side, I love this part. He repeats it. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared against us, the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth, who have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so here's a call in Psalm 124, and just saying it, you know, we just thank God that we trust in the Lord. And so seeing God as our only hope is what Psalm 124 would say. Listen, folks, if the Lord had not been our side, where would we be? Thank God the Lord is on our side. And, I mean, we have hope through God. And so, you know, instead of wringing our hands all the time about living, trust in God. And that's the next passage is verse Psalm 125, deepening our trust in the Lord. Again, if you like it, to fill in blanks, trust. Deepening our trust in the Lord. Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forever. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart, but those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evil doers. Again, so folks, trust in the Lord. We sing that song, you know, trust and obey. And other songs surely have the idea of the trusting in God and depending on the Lord. And so when we come together, we're trusting in God, we're calling out to God, and we're thanking God for the trust that we can have in Him. Psalm 126 is our next psalm. Again, it's only six verses, so it's the average. Around six verses is what these average. Psalm 126, being filled with laughter and songs of joy. I mean, hold it, wait a minute. We're supposed to be somber, you know. Kind of a dum dum da dum dum da dum da dum da dum. But, you know, it's better to sing, I'm happy today, right? And so it's coming together as God's people. And as he says here in laughter, excuse me. Notice in verse 1 and 2, it's past tense. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. This is referring to, and these psalms were all written after the captives had been brought back from Babylon to Israel. And so they resumed their faith in the Lord and their trust in the Lord. But they're looking back when the fortunes of Zion were restored by the Lord. And so what happened? They were filled with laughter and with songs of joy because their fortunes have been restored. You know, in your salvation and your obedience to the gospel, your becoming a Christian, having your sins wiped away, your fortunes have been restored. And that's what God's all about. And then he says in verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us, present tense, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who saw sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Some of you might remember a song along this line. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. That's where that song came from. Bringing in the sheaves is rejoicing and in the Lord and having joy. So laughter and songs of joy. Psalm 127, blending your house with God's house. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand and watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat and for grants. For he grants sleep to those who loves. Listen, we all ought to be concerned about making a living, you know, and so we toil because we need to eat, you know, and need to provide for ourselves and for our family. But this psalm is telling us, listen, there's more to life than you making a good living for your family. You could work long hours and provide financially for your family, but if you're not taking care of your family in a spiritual way, then there are problems. That's why he turns in verse 3. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward for him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. This psalm is telling us that although it's important to make a good living and do those kinds of things, rising early, staying up late, toiling for food to eat, and then sleeping, of course, at night that God has given us, don't forget your children. Don't forget your family. That's why he starts with building the house. And we're talking, of course, about the kingdom, but we're also talking about, and the temple, but also the church, but also the family. And the Lord builds the family. It's not just through our making a good living, having a good job, those sorts of things. And we parents sometimes make that mistake. We focus so much on that we forget the more important side is to raise our children. Isn't that what Ephesians 5 talks about? Ephesians 6, fathers to raise your children. Now, the Old Testament, the old version says in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but just raise them and give them faith in God. Be good parents is better than being a good provider. And so that's that psalm. Psalm 127 is thanking God, of course, blending God's house, the church. And so when you come to church, we bring the young people. And they're grown up in the Lord. And so, of course, don't forget to leave your children at home when you come to church. Of course, nobody would do that. But bring them and make sure that that's some high part or priority on your list. Psalm 128 is expressing blessings from the Lord. Notice it starts with the word blessed. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. Again, two psalms in a row talking about the family and the blessings that come through that. And so he's reminded that once he comes to the temple and he comes to Jerusalem and God and what that's all about, he realizes these are the most important things. Going to church is important for you and for your children. And coming and worshiping with God's people, and there's a blessing in that. And so we find that in Psalm 128. 129, then, is claiming victory in Jesus. Seems like we have a song along that line, victory in Jesus. Now listen to this psalm. They have greatly oppressed me from my youth. Let Israel say, they have greatly oppressed me from my youth. but they have not gained the victory over me. Plowmen have plowed my back and made their furrows long, but the Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked. May all who hate Zion be turned back in shame. May they be like grass on the roof, which withers before it can grow. A reaper cannot fill his hands with it, nor one who gathers fills his arms. May those who pass by not say to them, "The blessings of the Lord be on you. We bless you in the name of the Lord." The second half, it kind of goes in a slightly different direction in talking about those unbelievers. Maybe they'd be turned back in shame. Those who are the oppressors, as the first part talks about. But the most important thing is what God has done for us through Christ Jesus. He has cut us free from the cords of wickedness, from the cords of sin. We have gained the victory. And so we come together as God's people to celebrate victory in Jesus. And so that's why we sing those kinds of songs, and why we talk about those things as we look at the Word of God. Psalm 130 is putting your hope in the Lord. By the way, it's about 11:25-ish, so we've got a little bit of time, okay? Just to let you know that. So some of you might be looking at your watches. I think one or two of you are wishing you had brought your watch. Somebody left their watch at home and told me that. So anyway, I'm glad you left your watch at home, whoever you are. So Psalm 130, putting your hope in the Lord. Oh, he says, out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Lord, your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. So there's mercy again. If you, Lord, this is an important two verses here. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him, listen to this, folks, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins and us. Redemption comes through Jesus Christ, and God will redeem us. God is a forgiver, and we have so much to believe and trust in, and we have so much hope in the Lord. So again, church, we come together, we're reminded of the hope we have in God, and it's wonderful when we hear those things. Psalm 131, my heart is not proud, Lord. This is one of my favorite, by the way. My ears are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forever. Psalm 131, being content with your life is what this message is. He says, I don't concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be concerned about great things, even in this life. But don't get so preoccupied with the great things of this life that you forget about the Lord. Don't feel like you've got to be at whatever you do, the top of the heap. Like you've got to beat everybody, and you'll sacrifice anything to do it. And that you want to know all the great things and all the important things in life. And those are all good things. But he's saying, listen, it's much better for you just to live a quiet and calm life, and to be content with what you have. Is there anything wrong with contentment? No. And the Bible teaches us, be content. Don't go after the things of this world so much that you become greedy about it, or you become argumentative about it, or you fight for it, or you steal for it. Don't worry about those kind of things. Don't let those things become the great matters that you're so focused on. Cool it a little bit in your life. It's not important for you to be the greatest person in whatever category you want to be. Those can be good things, but it's not important. Ultimately, it's not. Don't worry about those kind of things. Put your hope in the Lord, and don't worry about so much about those kinds of things. Don't worry about politics. How many of you worry about politics? Don't raise your hand. But sometimes we do. No matter what side we're on, and sometimes those things are important, but most of the times they pale in comparison to what we have in God. And so we come to church to be reminded that all the things of the world, worldly things, are not the bottom line, but having a contented life with the Lord and with yourself forever is a good thing. Notice he says, "I hope, put your hope in the Lord both now and forever." All right, so the next psalm is Psalm 132, fill in the blank. Seeing the spiritual reality of your salvation is the message of this psalm. It's the longest one. In fact, it's 18 verses long. But we'll go through it quick without a whole lot of pointing out, because now it's 11:30, so I'm now living on borrowed time, but just give me a little bit of time. We're almost finished, almost actually finished. So here's Psalm 132, again, a little longer. But it has to do with the church. It has to do with Jesus Christ. That's in here. It is, even though it's an Old Testament scripture. Lord, remember David and all his self-denial. Self-sacrifice is what he's talking about. David wanted to build the temple, and so he began to gather things for the temple. And God said, "No, you're not going to be able to do it because of all the warring in your background. Your son's going to do it." And so Solomon builds the temple. But it starts out with David because he's the one that brought it up. "Lord, I want to build a temple for you here in Jerusalem." He swore an oath to the Lord. He made a vow to the Mighty One of Jacob. "I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the Mighty One of Jacob." So it's this subtle reference to the tabernacle, which was the tent that they built when they traveled in the wilderness for 40 years, which is now in another location. And so David wanted to bring it to Jerusalem, and so that's what that's talking about. He says, "I'm not going to sleep until I find a place for the Lord, until I get that temple back here, or here for the first time. Verse 6, "We heard it in Ephrathah. We came upon it in the fields of Jair. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool, saying, Arise, Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might." Remember, the Ark of the Covenant was in the tabernacle. "Make your priests be clothed with your righteousness. May your faithful people sing for joy." Let me just stop for a minute and say, today, who are the priests? Pop quiz question that Peter's going to have. When you get to the, it's us. It's every one of you. As a child of God, you are a priest. Some religions have a priest that you've got to go to. But you are the priests, and so he's mentioning the priests here. That's us. "May your priests be clothed with righteousness. May your faithful people sing for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not reject your anointed one." The Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath he will not revoke. Now listen to this. "One of your descendants will sit upon your throne." Any guess who that is? Jesus Christ, the descendant of David. And so here we have a psalm written after the captivity, and they've come back home during that time, about 400 years before Christ. "One of your descendants will be placed on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and the statutes I teach them, then their sons will sit on your throne forever and ever. For the Lord has chosen Zion." Again, that's old Jerusalem, but it's also the church. "He has desired for his dwelling. This is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it. I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor I will satisfy with food. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her faithful people will ever sing for joy. Here I will make a horn," that's a king, "grow for David, and set a lamp for my anointed one. I will clothe his enemies with shame, but his head will be adorned with a radiant crown," Jesus Christ. And so we come as God's people, as Christians, because of Jesus Christ, who God has placed on the throne. Remember, he ascended in Acts chapter 1, and God placed him on the right hand of his throne. And so he's now sitting on a throne today. And we come on the Lord's Day, we go to church to be reminded of that and to sing about it, to study about it, to talk about it, and just to live within it, that we are God's people and we are His priests. Psalm 133, another good one. One of my favorite, the last two we're going to read fairly quickly and we'll be done. How good and pleasant it is for God's people to live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessings for life evermore. And so unity among God's people is the focus there. And so, if you will, living together in harmony. Now, when I lived in East Texas, there was a little town between Quitman and Gilmer. You would get on 155 and you would head to, anybody from East Texas? Nobody from East Texas. You would go from Gilmer to Quitman, and there was a little town called Harmony. And I always liked it. I always told Shirley, you know, that would be a good place to retire, you know. But as God's people, we come together in harmony. And even when we sing, it's a good thing that when we hit all the notes properly, we sing in harmony. But it's more than that. We're harmony in harmony of heart. Here's the last one, Psalm 134. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who is maker of heaven and earth. Isn't that a good little ending? Can you tell us an ending? The idea, he's closing out. So let's praise the Lord about all this. Let's praise the Lord when we come to church. Let's lift up our hands in praise. We're going to sing a song right now. I don't know if it's a praise song, but whenever we do sing praise songs, it's wonderful. But let's praise the Lord. If you have any need, we invite you to come while we all stand and sing.